Against All Odds is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for MLB, NFL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game to make yourself a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know I sent you. Take it away, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Spaghetti and Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Aloha, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, Harry is in Hawaii. Now, that's not a big deal anymore, really. Like, if Harry's brother was in Hawaii, it would be something different if any of us were in Hawaii. But Harry spends most of the year in Hawaii and then complains about that he doesn't have enough money to live a lavish lifestyle. So it continues to be hilarious. But congratulations, Harry. He made it to Hawaii again. Congratulations to you, Yankee fans. Holy crap. Over the moon. Imagine there was a FanDuel bettor. I'm looking at this. Risk $306,000 on the Yankees -1.5 at +108. They had no hits going into, what was it, Paul? Like at the seventh? No hits. Home run by Stanton makes it 3-1. And then they tie it and then they win 6-3 and 11, not even 10 innings. Paid $330,480. And the better was Amber Heard, which is good. She's back on her feet. My God. Good. What I mean, Parlay Kid, you can't beat this day. I keep thinking, I'm like, oh, the Red Sox have won 7 in a row. Doesn't matter. You have 11 games up with this stupid Yankees team.
Yes, Sal. Yeah, but look, we've seen them. We've seen the reverse happen. Look, it seemed like a focus team. There's no way they blow this year. There's no way they win the division. There's no way.
I'm with you now. I mean, you had two hits going into the ninth on Friday. You won that game. You had no hits going into no hits Saturday. You had no hits going into the seventh Sunday, and you split the series with the Astros. I don't know how you did it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, you know, there's no panic in the Yankees. They're very businesslike, very businesslike. But
Darren, let me ask you though. Like, okay, Judge hits the home run. They cover the run line. Why wouldn't you just walk him and pitch to Rizzo, who's 0 for his last 17. Come on, Dusty Baker.
What was the situation? He had bases loaded.
First and so third.
I never like walking the bases loaded. I understand. It's an automatic walk.
Again, Rizzo,
0
for his last 17.
I know.
And you're going to go up against Judge, who's
big
been
mistake,
amazing.
And then the pitcher missed his spot. He was supposed to be about 6 more inches on the outer part of the plate.
Yeah.
He missed it. So, Judge, you can't miss a spot on that guy. Guy's been fantastic.
$330,000. Imagine that. That's the greatest one. What
crazy.
Is this guy going to do?
It's funny. Yeah. When he hit the home run, because I was aware of that bet. When he hit the home run, I thought of that guy immediately because I was like.
And then people had under 9. I mean, to end 6-3 is just is just wild. I want to find it. We've got an email. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Speaking of the Yankees, Harry's hatred of the of Derek Jeter and claiming he 1,000 of his hits were illegitimate, right, Harry? What's your thing with that? I don't know.
Maybe 11 to 1200. Maybe
that what they're illegitimate because they're
swinging bunts, they're bloopers, they should have been errors, but they were ruled hits.
I love this,
especially when they were at Yankee Stadium.
Well, you know, and I said you're putting on a show. This is ridiculous. Now this is years you've been making this claim, and someone came to your defense. Someone, this guy Scott Cox, who actually does write in and come to your defense often, Cousin Sal against the odds at gmail.com. He said, Sal, for once I actually agree with Harry. He's definitely not putting on a show with this horrendous Jeter take. Shows have things Harry doesn't offer, like a logical plot line, some emotional weight, usually some form of entertainment, and most come with a happy or at least satisfying ending. These metrics are antithetical to Harry and his never-ending reading of statistics during his wager presentations. The only commonality between the two is an ending, and the silence alone makes us all happy, even if we aren't satisfied. So there you go. That's nice. This guy, yeah, back job.
That's perfect. That was well said.
Well, what? Nothing?
No, well, I'm just going to say, by the way, yesterday at the pool, I do want to give out a shout out to John and Elise at the pool here in Hawaii, in Maui, a couple who were on their honeymoon from Baltimore, John and Elisa. They stopped me because they heard my voice. They didn't recognize me right off the bat, but they recognized my voice because he's a big fan. They're both big fans of Against All Odds. Mm. And Sal, big fan of yours, and read, they have your book and love the book and everything. And he told me that he wanted to tell Brian, not really Parlay Kid, but Brian, that that he agrees with me on the Jeter Kansas City thing. He's on my side, and he wanted me to tell Brian that he's wrong, but also big fans of the show and love what we do. But wanted to make sure that Brian knew that Jeter was
all right. So you found two other people. Now these two young lovers that are on their honeymoon. Did you explain to them? You're like, oh yes, I'm also recently married. Give it a couple months. You'll be traveling separate from your wife. You'll get into a big fight with her.
I didn't want to share that with them because they were having a great time, and we had a great time. It was good stuff.
You were both having a great time. All right. Thank you. So, all right. Harry's getting some support. He got people at the pool and the Scott Cox guy, Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. By the way, if you go to extrapoints.com/arcade, you join the prop quiz every week. We have it going. We'll have it at the end of the week. Again, you get free picks from these guys every day. You could download, subscribe, and rate all of our podcasts. The results from this week: Greg Metz, 7 right out of 10 in the prop quiz. M-E-T-Z. I would just change it to M-E-T-S if I were him, but a great name. 7 right. Brother Bry, top staff again, 6 right.
Fuck! Who screwed you, Bry? I lost by one?
Yeah, you lost by one. Who screwed you? Well, you had the wrong baseball game, right? Yeah. College baseball?
Yeah, I had Oklahoma, so shit.
Yeah.
That was it right there. Wow. I'm getting close. I'm getting close.
You're getting there.
Damn. Shit.
Close the gap.
Wait, how many questions were there? Were there 10?
Yeah, there's 10. There, yeah, because we didn't count the two. Yeah, because there was a hockey game. So there you go. We'll get into that. The hockey game. Right now, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, listen, I'm all over the Yankees for pulling out that bullcrap win, but I did have them. I had them over 3.5 runs adjusted. So I got lucky there. That was on a parlay with the Tampa Bay Rays to crush the pitiful Pirates and Patrick Cantlay to finish top 5. Now, heading into Sunday, this was like -1200. I added it to the parlay just to get another extra nickel or something. Stupid. It's how I lose all my parlays. Whatever. Bear with me. He's 4 strokes away from not finishing in the top 5 heading into Sunday, and he goes out and shoots a 76. A 76! He bogeys 3 of the first 4. 5 bogeys in the back 9, including a double. He doesn't even make the top 10. He finishes 13th. And then the announcers, I don't know which British it has, it's like, oh, it's Patrick Cantlay, so uncharacteristic. Really, really unsettling to watch, isn't it? I hated it. I hated it for hours all day. Oh. By the way, he earns like $160,000. Just give me $3,000, Patrick Cantlay, to cover my losses, plus pain and suffering. That'll be enough. Brother Bry, what's your
bet? Well, I had Cantlay, too. I had Cantlay to win. I think Harry maybe had him to win, too. I didn't bet him on Thursday, but I bet him on Friday. So that was tough to watch. It was almost like he had, like, the live on his mind, right? Because I know he avoided those questions, and it was like the way he played, he has 7 bogeys, and including a double
bogey. The live doesn't want him now. I mean, he helped to pay them.
Well, they took Wolf, so they'll take anybody. That's true. They'll take anybody. But I'm going to say the Oklahoma game, too. Now, it was more that it annoyed me, that game, because you had to be watching that to understand what happened. It was like it was the sixth inning. They, at one point, I thought they were up 1-0. They would have had 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. But the coach, you know, Ole Miss did a good job. He reviewed the one play at first base, and they ruled the runner going to first base. They ruled interference on it. Mm-hmm. Now, I get the rule. It makes sense. It's been going on forever. But I hate the rule.
That's garbage.
I hate the rule because, first of all, Now, the runner for third has to go back to third. So he doesn't even score on that play, which he's easily going to score on, right? He's automatically going to score. But they basically ruled him inside the baseline. But essentially, by the time it was basically a bang-bang at the bag. Now, when, once you get to the bag now, you essentially have to kind of be in the middle of the bag. And that's where the play took, you know, the incident took place right pretty much at the bag. Now, if you don't want that to happen, now do what they do in softball leagues and everything else. Put another bag to the side of first base so the runner can run to that bag. Now, that's just what drives me crazy, because I think if that play stood, it was close enough where maybe it could have stood. But I mean, I get why they changed it. But to me, it's like if they score there, they had a chance to get another run or two. I feel like they win that game too. And I had a bunch of money on Oklahoma to come back and win that game too.
I know you did.
It was just frustrating because I knew they were going to change it, but I was like, it's such a shitty rule.
Yeah. You basically have to tiptoe the last 8 feet. If there's going to be a close ball throw coming off the base down the line and crazy. Yeah. It's really stupid. Yeah, it's dumb. All right. Parlay Kid, what's your betting?
Yeah. I had a few, even though I still had a decent weekend in terms of, I did have Shoffley plus 110. I jumped on him. I don't know if it was that's what he was going into Saturday or Sunday. I forget now, but that was nice. But then, you know, if you watch, started on Saturday night, UFC, I had Rachmaninoff to win. It was my Sharp Tank pick to win by decision against Neil Magny. And Sal, you know, Mikey Meatballs was watching the fight. I was kind of busy. I was doing some things, but he was giving me updates.
What the hell are you doing? It's like 1:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Graduation party, guys. I was graduation party.
It's late out there.
So it's late. That's right. So, but I'm like, you know, I'm just cleaning things up, putting some, you know, food away that we had left over. And I'm like, Mikey, what's going on? It's like late in the second round. Must have been like 10 seconds left in the second round. And he basically says, it looks like it's going into the third. Rachmaninoff's winning easily. But it looks like this is just the way the fight's going to go.
He's fighting off his back. It looked like you were fine.
Yeah, it's just going to be one of these, right. And then all of a sudden he goes, it's over. It's over. Like I couldn't believe how quickly it went from, it looks like this is probably going to go the distance. Within 5 seconds, he says, the fight's over. I said, the fight's over. Couldn't believe it. So that was one.
I really think it was like 8 seconds left before he administered the submission hold, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right. So it happened so quickly. Yeah. And I feel like if I get out of that round, I'm winning that bet. And it looked like I was getting out of that round. But more importantly, I had the White Sox. I had Megan Morant's White Sox. I was all over them for my Thursday extra point pick. My baseball picks have been great. They had scored 91 runs in the last 13 games. So they were averaging 7 runs a game over the last 13, hitting the crud out of the ball. They're playing Baltimore at home. And I had them Thursday. They score 1 run. Sorry, get shut out. I take them Friday. They score 1 run. I don't take them Saturday. They score 2 runs. Yesterday, they had them minus 1.5 to finish up a 12-1 parlay. Top of the ninth, Baltimore, error Abreu, first baseman. Next batter, error Abreu, first baseman. When you see a first baseman make back-to-back errors, those 2 runs on the basis of 1 hit the rest of the way, come around to score, White Sox win 4-3, but I don't cover the 1.5. White Sox can just go home now. You lose 4 out of your last 5, 3 in a row at home.
Yeah.
The Baltimore? See ya. You guys are done.
I think I have them today. I'm terrible. I took them. Those are fighting words. God, Megan Morant's going to have to interview you backstage.
Well, even Megan was starting to feel good about it, but she can't feel good about them right now.
They're rough. Well, they want La Russa out. I know that. All right. Who's left? Harry, what's your betting?
I don't have much. I didn't have much, but I did on Thursday in the NBA draft. I did Thursday. A 4-player parlay.
Yeah.
I went with Sal. I went with your pick. I went Johnny Davis under 10.5
easy
picks, winner. Easy. I loved EJ Liddell over 22.5 winner. was drafted 41st. Walker Kessler, under 25 and a half from Auburn. Listen to Tate on that one.
Winner.
He was drafted 22, winner. Okay. And yeah, I take Kansas's Ochai Agbaji over 14 and a half. Of course, he's picked 14th by Cleveland.
All right. Well, the Johnny Davis, you went under 10 and a half and he was picked 10th. So it's lost a half, you won a half. All right. There you go. Those are our bet aches. Bet aches, by the way, brought to you by PropSwap. Swing for the fences all summer long with PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap is the best odds on World Series bets, MVP races, and fun props like who will hit the most home runs. The best part is when you win, you get paid fast and directly in your PropSwap account. Use promo code ODDS when you make your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. Now, time for another edition of the Extra Prop of the Week. Here we go. Astros and Yankees. This time, where is it? It's in Houston, right? What will be the total number of hits recorded by both teams on Thursday? Total number of hits, Harry?
16.
No, that's a good guess. The Astros and Yankees are averaging 8 hits per game this season. To enter, tweet us your guess at Extra Points Pod and at Prop Swap using the hashtag Extra Prop. You must be following both accounts to win. That tweet goes to at Extra Points Pod and at Prop Swap using hashtag Extra Prop. The winner gets a $275 Yankees World Series ticket, courtesy of PropSwap. That's a winner. Yankees are getting the World Series. That's it. That's a winner. A lot of pressure on the Yankees. Lots of pressure. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. Yeah, we got a lot of messages on that. Boy, that finish at the Travelers. So Thigala, what was he going? He has a one-stroke lead going into the 18th hole. And I think he was like minus 450 over Xander, who had blown it. Xander was a hole behind. And this one guy, Jason Nick, he's a follower. He calls for a bet ache. Thigala, he had 12-1 to win the Travelers. And so he lost that because Thigala like was stuck in the sand and like hit it. You know, I mean, you don't see this. He hit it and it moved like an inch and then hit it again. And then like he had like a, what was it? Like a 12-foot putt for bogey. Ended up losing by 2. So it wasn't as terrible, but that rimmed out. That was terrible. There's this other guy, Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com, said, I have 150-1 on Thigala before the tournament begins. And after seeing his strong first round, I come back with another 80-1 ticket. He manages after Xander does his usual routine to somehow be leading by one. Just like I said, he hits it into the bunker, then hits the ball in the sand, failing to get out. Double bogeys the final hole, up by one, and I lose. Thank God I had this great karma coming after my 40-1 Celtics ticket died. Payne, Zach from Virginia Beach. Now, here's the thing, Zach. I hate that this happens to anybody, but this was way worse 10 years ago when you couldn't live bet stuff. Now, the Celtics were up 2-1. You could have bet against your 40-1 there. You could have taken the Warriors or at a lot of spots there. The Gala you could have taken, right? I mean, I hope if you have 150-1 on him, you had Schauffele in the 16th, 17th, and 18th holes, knowing that that was going to be the only guy who could catch him there. But that's rough, Harry. I mean, 150-1 and 80-1. Thoughts and prayers, Zach S. There you go. That's our prop swap moment. That's bet aches. Hey, NHL guys, Lightning Avs, game 6. The Avs win the cup. They ousted the Lightning 4-2, 2-1 final last night. Makar, Conn Smythe, good job by Parley Kid. Damashek also. Damashek midway through the Edmonton series said split Makar and MacKinnon. Parley Kid, you had Makar. It was a fun series. I don't know. It's, you know, I think people think, well, the Lightning, the Avs dominate them 4-2, but there were 3-1 goal games, right?
Yeah. Good series. Good series. Yeah. Good games. Yeah, the one clunker in there, game 2.
Well, two of them, man. 7-0 and 6-2, right? In the middle there. Yeah. But otherwise, they're good.
That 6-2 game was, I think, a game at one point, right? Though it wasn't. So it was a good series. It was a good series, I think. Part of me wanted the Avalanche to win, but I was hoping in 7. You know, I had that in 7. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping, plus I was just hoping for one more hockey game. So we could have done our frenzy.
Yeah, 5-minute frenzy. You know, boy, it would have had to hit 3 games in a row, though, because it hit yesterday, too, right? That would have been something.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Yes, it did.
That would have been something. All right, so that was bad for me and Mikey Meatballs, and I think Bri had money on the Lightning, too. And they really did seem to run out of gas, right? I don't think they took a shot in the third period, Bri, until like halfway
well,
in,
Well, the
right?
thing was, yeah, they played well for about the first 2 minutes of that period, but still couldn't record a shot, and then they just got got dominated for the rest of that period until maybe a few minutes left.
Yeah.
They just couldn't set up. They couldn't set up anything on offense that whole time. I think a major question before the Cup started, would Darcy Kuemper be good enough versus the two-time champs? And he was. He gave up more than three goals just once. Colorado's offense, guys, just is that good, relentless on the offense. Plus, playoffs, 20-4 overall, 20-4 and 9-1 on
the
road.
It's a great run for them.
Amazing.
It was a great run for them.
It was just weird that, like, for as dominant as it seemed like Colorado was, you know, when Colorado took that 2-1 lead yesterday late in the second period, they said that was the first time they were leading in regulation since game three, which seems so weird, right? That it was like from game three to game six.
That is nuts.
And then but it still seemed like they dominated. So,
well, what'd you say? They were 20-4, Harry, in this run, or 16-4? Yeah, 20-4?
20-4 in the playoffs, 9-1 on the road.
I mean, that helps. This Michael Leboeuf tweeted, the preseason, it's been all chalk in hockey. We said it for basketball. It seems like at least these games were good. Preseason favorite wins the cup. The favorites were 849 and 462. That's almost 65% during the regular season. Chalk went 59-30 in the playoffs. But I think if you take the Avs games out of there, it's a little more realistic, right? Even that, but that's 66%. First time in the salary cap era, the over cashing over 50% of the regular season games. That's interesting. Sure. I'm not sure what that means. But anyway, what's our 2023 pick? We don't have to spend too much time on this. I'm going to be boring and say the Avs. You got McKinnon's 26 years old, Makar 23, Rantanen 25. You got a goalie who's not going to lose his mind and, you know, shit his pants during the playoffs, as Harry mentioned, Darcy Kuemper. Although he and Kadri and Nichushkin are free agents, but I think they're under the salary cap enough that they can bring one or two of those back. I'm betting, I know, again, 5-1 odds, the Avs are favored to win. And I know this is boring, but this is one of those picks we talk about, Parlay Kid, where, you know, barring just a complete breakdown, they're going to make the playoffs and then they'll probably be like plus 250, right? Once they make the playoffs to win the cup. So that's why I like them at 5-1.
Yep.
Which way are you going?
I like that. So I do like that because most likely I'd be shocked if they were not the leading the league or at least the West in points at the end of the season next year. Would be very surprising. Mm. I mean, you know, injuries can happen. I think it's a good time to jump on them now. Kind of similar to what I'm doing here. And I like what Brian's going to say too, a lot. I don't get some of the odds right now. Like, for example, Carolina's 11-1. The Rangers are 20-1. That makes no sense to me. It almost feels like, I feel like it should almost be flip-flopped there. So that's what the
Spaghetti
have,
and
so.
Damashek were screaming at each other because Spaghetti's like, the Flames are 18-1, but the Penguins are 20-1. It's ridiculous.
Penguins should not be 20
like
to
they're
one.
Going in different directions.
I'll get to my picks and then we could talk.
Go ahead.
So I do like the Bruins, a little bit of a long shot at 25-1. I think anytime you can get the Bruins like 25-1,
that's my pick
last
year.
You probably should jump on them because they're always just a very good team. If I knew who their coach was at this point, I would take him. I would take the Islanders if Trotz was coaching them, but he's not. So I'm going to just roll with the Panthers at 10-1. All right. They were had the most points in the NHL this year. And like you're saying, Sal, I think they're just, you know, these teams always seem to take a next step. I think the Panthers take that next step next year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, after this year's disappointment,
right?
Kind of the way Tampa took it years ago after getting swept by Columbus. And then they came back the next year after they were like, you know, was that a one seed getting swept by an eight seed at that time?
Sounds right.
Now, granted, you know, Florida lost to Tampa. They lost to a really good team. I just think it'll be Florida's time next year. I'll grab them at 10-1 now. Because I do think they come back next year on a mission.
Yeah, Bri, FanDuel doesn't believe in the curse it's bestowed on the Maple Leafs because they're second after the Avalanche at 9-1.
I thought about them too. 10-1. Yeah, Lightning in terms of just like talent, right? And, you know, offensive firepower that they have. I mean, you could say Toronto could be, you know, the right. next Colorado, but they're just not as good defensively. But, it's hard to go against the Avalanche. By the way, if you want to watch something really good, ESPN had Unrivaled on yesterday with it. It was like the Avalanche Red Wings series, which was really great. I ended up having it on. Awesome, by the way. It's hard to say that the Avalanche. I mean, I would definitely bet the Avalanche to come out of the West for sure because I don't see another team.
I'm sorry, the Red Wings goalie throws the Avs forward down the staircase. Is that that same? Oh, that's a different one. Okay, I'm sorry. I got so much
Mike
to watch.
Mike Vernon, right, Darren?
I have so much
Mike
to Vernon. Watch. Too much to watch.
Vernon and Ruas, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Rangers at 20-1, right? The Rangers, just a ton of good young players on that squad. Now, maybe they don't have the superstar players, but when you have Shesterkin, who's going to, again, be a top two or three goalie in the league, they, to me, are the one of those teams that all of a sudden in 2 or 3 years could become like the Avalanche in terms of just the speed on this team, offensively, defensively, being able to play really well. So I thought 20-1 for the Rangers was good value. Yeah.
All right. Harry, you're with me with the Avs, right? Is that what you settled
on? Yeah. Like you mentioned, Sal, maybe they stay with Kemper, maybe they don't, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the team is loaded. They can be the new Lightning. They could win it 2-3 years in a row by far. Darren, you mentioned best team in the Western Conference. Johnny Gaudreau of Calgary is going to be gone. I think he's going to go to the Flyers. So they're definitely the best team in the Western Conference. MacKinnon in Colorado might be the Kings for some times. And by the way, Toronto, I think it's hilarious that Toronto's the second favorite at 9-1. They haven't won a playoff series. They haven't won a playoff series since 2004.
Yeah.
What now? Maybe you guys can explain this to me. Maybe I'm just not following it closely enough. Like, why the Knights? Why the Vegas Knights?
Yeah, I was right in the mix there.
Why are their odds so friendly? I mean, for them. I mean, not for us.
It's like every year they are now, doesn't it?
I'd like to see them more like 25-1 or something like that.
Right. That's interesting. Meatballs, you said on EP, the spaghetti's not here. He went to edit extra points podcast, but Meatballs, you like Edmonton at 20-1. There's a bunch of the 20-1s. Yeah,
I do. I mean, I will bet the Islanders at 30-1, but I do like Edmonton at 20-1. I mean, you have two of the best players in the league, so why not?
It's looking eventually they might have to get there. They really actually might have to get there, and they're 4 games short of
gotta get a goal
this year. Well, yeah, I guess that's it. I don't know. It's very strange in these playoffs, but there you go. It's a lot of chalk this year, more than we thought. Hey, if you want our tennis picks, you'll stick around for this very short break. If you don't, that's your problem. All right, here we go. Wimbledon started today. We're going to pick one from the men's side and one from the women's side. We already had to scramble a little bit because I think the Parlay Kids choice on the men's side already got bounced, or women's side, right? No, the men's side. Okay. And then we had another close call there. But anyway, it's up and running. This is the biggest event, I guess, next to the hot dog eating contest for the next month. So we're going to concentrate on this a little bit as much as we can. On the men's side, Djokovic has won the last three, right, Brian? 5 of the last 7. And so it's easy to take him. And I'm sure we're going to have a ton of money on him for sure at -140. But I'm going with the second favorite, Matteo Berrettini. Right there. Hey, Italian. He made it to the semis at the Aussie Open. He skipped the French Open because he had a hand injury. He actually had surgery on that hand. And then has been lighting it up the last few weeks during grass court season at the Stuttgart Open earlier this month and the Queen's Club Championship. I like that he's on the opposite side of Joker and Alcaraz. +650, Matteo Berrettini. Bri, you're going chalk. Why not? Joker -140.
Yeah, I'm taking Joker -140.
He lost a set, though.
He did lose a set, which maybe that's better. Actually, as of yesterday, you could have got Joker or Nadal at -150 versus Joker at -140. I just don't see anybody beating him. Like you said, he's won 3 straight, 5 of his last 7. Now, with the win, he's got 6 in total at Wimbledon. With the win, he'd tie Sampras at 7. Then he'd only be 1 back of Federer. So, I mean, he's got to... if he wants to pass Federer, if he wants to get to 9, he's got to win this one. And the bracket is much better this time, right, at Wimbledon than it was at the French Open, just because you do have Nadal and some of the others on the lower half of the bracket. Plus, you don't have Medvedev's not playing in this. So, you know, he may lose a few sets, but I don't think too many overall in this tournament. I think he gets his fourth straight.
All right. Harry, why do you got to do this with this? Give him someone that's going to get out of the first round here. Who is this?
Because
this guy's got your name.
No. Listen, 85-1 for Taylor Harry Fritz.
It's actually 90-1 now. So good for you.
90-1. Well, guess what? He's 14th ranked in the world, his highest ranking ever. He shouldn't be that high. I think that's pretty great. That's great value for that for him. He's won two titles this season. One of them was at the prestigious Indian Wells, and the other one was Sunday in Great Britain on grass. I'm taking the 24-year-old Taylor Harry Fritz. You said 90-1? Yeah. Give me that.
All right. He is ninth in the odds there at 90-1. All right.
He ended the 2021 season as the number one ranked American player.
Is that right? Okay. 90-1. All right. I mean, you probably follow this more than anybody. You're betting tennis in North Korea.
Bill Simmons is asking us for our advice in tennis all the time.
Well,
lately, right?
He wants to go again. We'll get to the women's side in a second, but he wants to go against Serena every match. But now it's not like she's 10-1 favorite every match now. She's like eighth.
Don't you kind of want to root for her? Or, I mean, I kind of do.
I don't care. No, it doesn't matter. No, I want to wherever my money is. Why do I care? Parlay Kid, you had to, we'll get to the woman's side in a second. Which way are you going?
Well, the guy I was going to give out is already lost. look, the bottom line is, why are you guys dragging me into this crap for? Right?
Like, I just told you, it's the only thing to watch.
Listen, we dragged you into the golf and you're the king now.
Yankees are boring. What are you going to do with baseball every day? Put this on, talk in the morning.
I get it.
Yankees walk off every day. Sounds right.
Something else now. I'm going to have to, my focus on the golf.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to start betting tennis like every day. It's the tennis betting has got to be the most sick type of betting out of all the betting, as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't even have coffee today, Darren. I had tea today, Darren. Day one of Wimbledon, I had tea today. I didn't even have coffee.
I mean,
the hell is that?
we're in England, Sal. We drink tea.
I see. I get it. You're not in England.
You're in
Hawaii.
England?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're barely in this country. What are you doing? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm going with Nick Kyrgios, Sal. 27-1. He's been playing well on grass this year. Australian. I don't know. What else can I say about him?
That's enough.
I do think he's... I'm going to guarantee that he wins his first match against... who is it? Paul Jubb? Who's Paul Jubb, Harry? Paul Jubb?
He's the guy that's going to knock your pick out. Yeah.
He's a Brit. And he's, I think he's actually in a decent spot. But he has played well. I can tell you from what I've read, he's played pretty well on grass.
All right.
So I looked to see what seed he was. I don't think he's even seeded, Kyrgios. I don't even know what seed he is. So,
You don't have to even look at the seeds.
He's got
to
watch it. He's got to really watch his temper in London, though. He's really got to watch his temper there.
Well,
the seeds are a mess.
You're 27-1. Shouldn't you have some type of seed? Like, he's not.
Right? It is weird. Yeah. By the way, maybe we should defer to Harry on these grass tournaments. I mean, who knows grass better than Harry? Right, babyface?
Listen, he nailed USFL. This is Harry's time to shine.
He is like 2-0 in his last two USFL picks. We can get to that later.
And by shine, I mean he should put some SPF on because he's already.
All right, on the women's side, Ashley Barty, defending champ, she retired.
26.
She's 26 now. She retired at 25. Yeah, she was 25 when she retired. Good for her. I don't know. How do we do it, Parlay Kid? How do we get? We wasted half our lives there at 25. We could have retired. I'm going Simona Halep, 20-1. She won in 19, and then there was no Wimbledon in 2020. And then she withdrew last year because she had a calf injury, and people freaked out because she withdrew with a neck injury, but it was just precaution a couple weeks ago at this Hamburg Open. And then she had a panic attack, which forced her to lose the French Open. All right, so she's got to get it together. But if she does, I think this is a nice prize, a price for the 2019 champion, 20-1. She's 26-8 this season, and even better percentage after switching coaches in March, right before Indian Wells, which she did well at. 20-1, Simona Halep, she's going to win the women's side. All right, Parlay Kid, you got Serena Williams. She 27-1?
27-1 for Serena Williams. That's all you need to know. I can pronounce her name. That's one. Good. So that's a start. And two, I mean, she's won this seven times, right? She's got 23 Grand Slam titles to her name. If she's into it,
mm-hmm.
she's got as good a chance as any woman here, right? She's the most talented probably on the court. So if she's come to play and she's in, we've seen her not be in great shape. I think Brian's made that a point the last couple times he's had her.
Yeah.
You know, she gets fatigued. I can't blame her.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. She's, but in terms of just her tennis playing ability, I think if she is on her game, she's still probably the best player in the
all
world.
All right. 26-1.
She went down to 27-1.
Yep. Yeah. Went down to 26.
I'll roll with Serena at those odds.
Harry is constantly texting me, and I think Simmons are on that chain about Coco this, Coco that. She made it to the finals, right? An Australian Open or French Open? What was that?
French Open. Yeah. She made it to the finals. 14-1.
Right.
And not only did she make it to the finals at Roland Garros, she didn't lose a set until the finals. She's 18 now. She's got a couple of years under her belt. She ranked 12th in the world. Coco at 14-1.
All right. I should say off the top, Swiatek is plus 155 to win the women's side there. But none of us are taking her, right, Bri? Who do you like?
No, Swiatek, it's like she's been dominant. What did it say? She's won like 35 matches. What is it, 35 in a row or something like that?
Well, I will say I looked at her for the quarter winner. On FanDuel, you could bet the quarter winner. So that means you make it to the semifinals, right?
Yeah.
She's minus 195 for that. I didn't think that was that bad. If you could find something out. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, she doesn't have necessarily a history at Wimbledon, right? So, like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Who knows right. on grass? That's the only thing. Like, who knows on grass if she, you know? And the problem is,
sure.
I'm so worried about whoever I pick just losing immediately. Like,
it could be gone by the time this podcast.
I liked Kerber. I was looking at Kerber at 35-1, but she plays like now, so she might lose. So, but this is how it is. Like, if you can find, you know, you can make a, if you're smart,
you
got
to find
this,
people that never play and then you don't have to worry.
Right.
About
I mean, these women, checking. I mean, it's upset after upset. We're going to look back at this and we're going to say, holy shit,
like,
how many upset there were on the women's side of the bracket. But what were you going to say, Harry? You jumped.
What, Harry?
I was going to say, Brian, me and you probably, we definitely follow tennis more than Sal or Darren does. And you've always saying, like, these tournaments, these little tournaments that lead up to the majors, that upsets happen all the time. And I couldn't agree more. And you probably stay away from it more than I do. But even like in the last couple majors, the first round, second round, upsets galore still.
I know.
It's nonstop.
I know. I wish you could find, like, there's obviously a couple in the women's side are going to come through who are like, you know, 50-1 or higher, right? Because like, I think the second seed, I'm talking about this for a while here, but the second seed even is 65-1 in this tournament. But it's like,
It
doesn't have like a history on grass either. So that being said, I shouldn't be taking one of the favorites, but I was going to take Kvitova at 12-1. Just because she's played very well on grass recently. She won a recent tournament two weeks ago. She won one of the main tournaments on grass, and she had beaten Ostapenko pretty easily, and she also beat the girl Mai, who had been playing well too on grass. So I know it's only 12-1. Her draw is not too bad in terms of her like immediate draw over the next couple of days. Also, she doesn't play until later tonight, so I have a couple hours before this podcast can post before potential
upset. You could take Kerber won that first set 6-0, Bri, if you want to change.
I mean, I do like her at 35-1 because she was in the semis last year and she won it in 2018, right? So like, she's played well there. She has a good history. The only problem is that I think she's like 34 years old.
All right. So there you go. We're going to make a nice graphic. We're going to put them up and you don't have to look at it. You can cover your eyes. We'll put it up there for everybody
to
see.
What do you got to win? Seven
rounds. Seven. Okay. That's what it is. It's good enough. Yeah. And then you'll be in the quarterfinals by Monday. Is that right, Harry? I think for both sides. Right. Yeah. I think that's it. All right. Back to baseball for a second. I was looking we mentioned the Yankees splitting that series with the Astros. That was huge. I know it's only June, but the fact that they split that series against the Astros, pretty big. Mets took 3 out of 4 from the Marlins. They have a 5-game lead on the Braves. That's going to be a little harder to scratch out, although this pitching help coming back. That at Mariners Angels brawl, was that yesterday?
Yeah,
it's Saturday. Unbelievable.
Wait, that was yesterday.
Yeah, yes, Saturday. Well, yeah. Trout got hit the day before. Am I getting right? And then but he's like, "Hey, don't hit me in the face. Just freaking hit me in the leg or the hip or something." Right? He's having an interesting year because he's on pace for like 52 homers and 112 RBIs. But the big Trout news was this brawl and the fact that he's the fantasy commissioner of that screwy league with Jock Peterson and Tommy Pham of a fantasy football league. But the brawl was interesting. I watched it. It was good. I'll give it like a 7 because it lasted for a while. I want to ask you guys, how many brawls are good for baseball? Because, you know, like hockey, the fighting went down a little, but it was like, wink, wink. We still have to have fighting in hockey, right? Because people were interested in it. How many brawls, Pauly Kid, are good for what's a good number of brawls? One every week, every 2 weeks?
I think, you know, I think I've said this before. I think all sports need to get back with teams like just dislike each other.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good for sports when teams don't like each other. Football by nature, you don't really have to have brawls because you have the content. And baseball, I think it spices some things up. That's for sure. Right.
Football, so, they're wearing helmets and pads and everything. Yeah, so there's not a lot of risk either. So that's interesting. I like to see it in tennis. I wouldn't mind it. You know, Harry, you said Kyrgios does a hothead. Like, let's see these guys brawling too. But yeah, baseball, how often?
I think one a week, one every other week, one every other week, maybe.
Why not?
One a week. A good one, though, because this was a good one. This was an interesting one, right? Because he didn't go after the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He went after the coach, I think, Nevin, who was yelling from the dugout, and that ignited it. He didn't he was actually pretty calm at first, the batter.
Right.
It seemed, at least you don't know what he's saying. I don't really know what he's saying, but and then obviously, you know, the probably one of the worst traditions in baseball is like the bullpens running in.
Like, it's tough for them.
That's kind of like a silly, stupid tradition. They should just stay where they are. Let the three or four guys so you can see it really happen.
Well, or they should just go after each other. I think it's a shorter run if they run after each other. Yeah,
kind of like when in hockey.
Yeah.
When Vernon said he saw Patrick Roy leave the bench, he's like, that's my guy.
Yeah,
I
got to
go pick him up. When these guys come out of bullpen, that should be it. Like,
so maybe that you're onto something, Pauly Kid.
Yeah, maybe they
should be pre-assigned before the series, like who they're going to take in the brawl. Like, oh my God, all right, the Angels, let's see their pitching matchup against the Mariners. Okay, that's cool. What about brawl wise? Oh, wow. Trout. Oh, interesting. It's Jesse Winker.
Yes.
Trout. That's interesting. It's Jesse Winker flips off the fans. After he got hit by a pitch to start the second. It's crazy. That was a lot of fun.
How about if it became like a Royal Rumble as the guys came out? If you threw somebody back over the fence, that's it. They're out of the fight.
Yeah, yeah. Every 10 seconds, somebody new is announced.
It was pretty good with not a ton of punches being thrown, actually. Right. It's a lot of grabbing and pulling, but it was nice to see, and then it had like a second wave of it. And just when you thought it was over, it got hot again, and there was about 8 guys on top of each other. It's pretty good. So I give it a 7.5 myself. A
lot of good action. Yeah, a lot of good action there. All right, so that's baseball right there. Also baseball, my son Harrison's team eliminated in the finals. I showed you guys a diving catch to end the quarterfinal. I'm glad it's over, Pauly Kid. I need a break. He needs a break from me yelling at him. So do the umpires. I love the parents, but it gets weird with that. As a coach of a quarterback, actually is substantial in college. It just drive you nuts when the other players fall apart, right, Pauly Kid? But you can't say anything because the parents are around, right?
Well, you can't really say anything anyway because you don't know when your own kid's going to fall apart, right? So I just think you kind of sometimes it's just better to be tight-lipped because, you know, as soon as
you're right,
start maybe crapping on some of the other players.
No, I know, but it's hard not to react. And again, this is 8-year-olds and I'm a mental case with this stuff. When I see Harrison pitching and he's battling like a 3-2 count, 3-2, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. And I'm getting nervous. And then there's a ground ball hit to first and the kid kicks it into the dugout. And I'm like, God, son of a bitch. And like his mother is right next to me. And I don't know. It's just a mess.
It's comparable to like, if you know, That to me is the most frustrating, is when your son's pitching.
Right.
You know, I think there's more pressure. I think quarterbacking is the highest pressure position.
Well, if a wide receiver drops a ball that your son threw, you're going to lose your mind.
You know what? But a lot of times they make up for it. But it is tough in baseball when like you're throwing and you know you're on a pitch count pretty much too.
Right.
There's errors behind you, and you know, guys you and I, you know, the knowledgeable people know, like, that's not your kid's fault. But you have some people that have no idea, and they're like, this pitcher stinks.
Well, then that's the next part. You know? It's like, Harrison, not your fault. You have to just throw strikes, man. Just don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about all that shit that's going on behind you. Yeah, sure, you should have been out of this inning 20 minutes ago, but don't you worry about a thing.
Some parent will go home and say, oh, Harrison gave up like 8 runs today.
Yeah.
Right. Like they don't they just don't really, you know, always said, Sal, there's 3 keys to baseball at that age, right? Putting the ball, when you bat, you put the ball in play.
Right.
When you pitch, you throw strikes. And when you're in the field, you make the routine plays.
Exactly.
You do those 3 things, you're winning most of your games.
An 8-year-old, it's even simpler. You hit a few hard ground balls and you get a catcher that can't throw anybody out and you're going to score 6 runs, right? So
that's
like,
true too.
I mean, that's it. Babyface, what are you saying? Harry's is different?
I mean, I would like to hear Harry's 3 keys now, because that was very poetic.
That was
a
very good TPK. I just,
his 3 keys are the one that opens Ken's 3 mansions. He doesn't even have ones for himself.
How did that play? How did that catch by Big H not get on the top 10 on ESPN? That was amazing.
He did all right. It didn't.
Fantastic.
Yeah, nice. They came back. They were 5 runs down in 2 games, and they came back. I really thought they were going to make it to the regionals.
The awareness of him.
It's fine.
So good.
It's fine. I'm glad it's over. I feel like my summer can kind of start now.
That was the other team, or is that other team starting in the summer, though, too? Are you done now? Are you completely done?
I'm done. That's the thing with baseball in California, if you really like it. It goes 10 and a half months. So I have like 4 weeks off.
Oh, okay, good.
And then we have like 2 Christmas weeks off. But he's right back at it with this travel team in mid-July or something, end of July, I think. Okay. So, but it's a lot. It's a lot of baseball. It really is. What to say anymore.
Yep.
But anyway, I don't know how you do it. Polly Kid and Brother Brian, Harry, with all the people you're meeting at the pool. I don't know how you...
They're on the honeymoon too. John and Elisa, happy wedding.
John and
wedding,
Elisa, congratulations on the wedding. Babyface, congratulations on the birthday. I feel like a real heel.
Yeah.
No, I had it written down Friday, and then I'm like, holy shit, I figured it out too late. And then I gave you a Yankee bet. And was that the one they were almost no-hit it? No, they lost. Which one did I give you?
Unfortunately, they lost Friday night, but it's okay. You know, I did what I do every year, which is watch the Sex and the City marathon and stay at home by myself.
Good stuff, though.
It's okay. I did have a question for Harry. I was wondering, if Harry could drink out of the Stanley Cup, what would it be?
It would.
Weed soda or the Sonic shake?
Boy.
Shake.
Yes.
Both?
The answer is yes. Yeah, it's everything.
No, you got one. You got to choose one. Which one?
Sonic shake with weed soda infused in it.
You can't tell me that weed soda tastes good, Harry. There's no way
Darren, come listen. On. You try it.
Darren's not drinking the right stuff, I don't think. I don't know.
Darren, it's flavored. Doesn't taste like grass. Cherry flavored.
Like grass.
It's blueberry flavored.
It's probably better than beer would taste, Darren, at this point. But because there's so many, they try to.
How would
it.
You compare it to, like, say?
Because you want a child. Look what the target
like
audience
Red
is.
Bull's
Harry,
gross.
They got to target like a child, like Harry. It's like, okay, we want to get you high.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Red Bull is gross. I don't
what
like Red Bull.
What does Harry need that for? I mean, what is the purpose? Why does Harry have to take this for? And really, where is? The guy's vacation.
He's got
where
a stressful time. It just takes the edge off
this?
A little
what
bit.
What is it? What is it?
Got to take the edge off.
Why do you need to feel like you have to alter your state of mind?
He's got a lot of money on this USFL game.
Listen, let me drink all the weed sodas I want. I'll just keep banging out these USFL games. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. The brothers are 0-4 last two Sharp Tanks. H Dogs 2-0.
Yeah. Well, you, did, you had like 10 wrong in a row before that, though. So
yeah.
No doubt. Oh, maybe 12.
This move Harry's made by going out to Hawaii without Angie.
Yeah.
This might be.
I'm surprised he even told her. It didn't seem like he was going to tell her.
Any of us that early in our marriage could have gotten away
that early. I couldn't do that now. I couldn't. I mean,
what's he doing? Yeah. Come on.
This doesn't look good.
Taking dancing lessons later, I think.
Harry, well, I'm trying to think, and I hate to do this.
Hula dancing lessons.
Okay. I mean, what over under do we put on this marriage? I love Angie, but I'm not, this is not, and it wouldn't be her fault.
I will say this, though. She wasn't overly thrilled with me leaving. I'll say that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Harry, push came to shove, and you had to choose between Ken and Angie. Who are you choosing? You have to make one choice.
I think you're looking at it right now.
The rest of your life with Ken or the rest of your life with Angie?
Drives me crazy. Ken drives me crazy plenty. So I don't know.
Yeah, but at least there's a Hawaii vacation waiting for you. Babyface, why does he even need to answer? I feel like he's moaning his way to it.
Oh my God, he had an easier time answering than we did Sonic Speak.
Well, you go with what you know, I guess. All right, there you go. We had a lot of fun. We'll be back tomorrow. I guess what, to talk about Wimbledon? I don't know what we're even going to talk about. I don't know. I do. We can get into some NFL stuff. We'll be talking.
We can talk about how all of our Wimbledon picks are out already.
There
probably.
You go. Exactly. We'll start with brand new Wimbledon picks
big
tomorrow.
Don't time everybody here, Harry. Don't
yeah, come
time.
On, Harry.
Don't
come on. You're the everyman, and that everyman combined weight. He still got that shirt on. He did it again. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon. And the degenerate trifecta. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping.